Hello, hello, everyone. We are live. Today is April 23rd, 2026. Welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you with us tonight. As all of you are coming in and you've been notified we're going live, I'm going to say hi to some of you wonderful viewers out there who are coming on. Aloha to you in Hawaii. God bless you. Very happy to have you on. West Virginia, Palm Coast, Florida. God bless you both. Let's see. We see Oregon as well, South Carolina, Knoxville, Tennessee. God bless all of you. Spartanburg, South Carolina. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us. I see you in Maryland. God bless you. And Pennsylvania as well. We see South Carolina, Southwest Georgia, Aurora, Colorado. God bless all of you. Blessings to you, to our neighbor in Connecticut. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us. Hello to you in France. Hello to our international audience and our French viewers, as well as our European viewers coming on. Very happy to have you with us. God bless you. Long Island, New York. God bless you. Very happy to have you with us. Our neighbors in the Adirondack Mountains, which is only about 2 hours north of us. Very happy to have you on with us. God bless you. El Paso and Baytown, Texas. God bless you and God bless all our viewers in Texas. We have a large viewer base in Texas. We're very happy to have you on with us tonight. Las Vegas as well. God bless you. Lyons, Oregon. God bless you. Sydney, Australia. Hello to our friends across the globe in Sydney watching us tonight. We're very happy to have you with us. Oh, let's see. Lake Isabella, California. God bless you. Very happy to see you on tonight. St. Louis, Missouri as well. God bless you. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho and Mountain City, Tennessee. God bless you both. Ogden, Kansas. Hello to you in Kansas. God bless you. Canada's coming on now. Hello to all of our viewers in Canada that watch. We're very happy to have you on with us tonight. Tulsa, I see as well. God bless you. Very happy to have you with us. Kansas City, Missouri, Louisiana. Klamath Falls, Oregon. God bless all of you. Very happy to have you on with us. I see multiple Georgias, including Augusta, San Diego. God bless you. Hello to our neighbors in Seymour, Connecticut. Very happy to have you on with us, as well as Texas, in Eureka, Montana. God bless you both. Very happy to have you on with us. Hello to you in the UK. Hello to our viewers in England who are coming on. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. We love our viewers in America, as well as our international viewers who come on to watch us. We're very appreciative of that. New Zealand, hello to you across the globe in New Zealand. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us as well. Buffalo, New York, hello to our neighbors in Buffalo. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us. Oh, let's see who else. We'll do a few more as people are jumping on. Jacksonville, Florida, Salem, Arkansas. God bless you both as well. Oh, let's see. There's a few New Zealanders in here. Well, very happy to have you with us. God bless you. Oh, let's see. Columbus, Ohio. God bless you. Topeka, Kansas. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us. And our neighbors in Rockland County, New York. Hello to you. And in New Jersey. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us. And hello to our moderators and our Ark of Grace team who are graciously on with us tonight. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. I just got to take a drink here quick. I was talking earlier today on an interview, so I got to make sure my voice stays good for the whole broadcast. So we're very, very happy to be on tonight. There is, you know, we're just in that time and season where there is a lot going on constantly. There is just constant movement, intensity, events happening. And boy, do we have some doozies to talk to you about tonight, including this mystery, this biblical mystery that we're watching unfold in real time that has to do with the 10 kings in Daniel, the 10 kings in the book of Revelation, and it connects it to the United States, Iran, and what's unfolding real time globally. There is a mystery about the 10, and we're going to sort of unpack that and begin to unpack that for you tonight. It connects the book of Esther as well in there to what is unfolding today. There's no mistake that we keep seeing the number 10 associated with all of this over and over and over again with what's unfolding right now. And it connects back to Revelation, Daniel, and the book of Esther. So we're going to be going over that as well. But there's something happened in Mexico we're going to get into after I open in prayer. Huge alarm right now, and high alert. And we'll get into that as well, what transpired. So let's open up in prayer, give this over to the Lord, and then we will be off and running tonight. So, Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you this day. We praise you that you are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. We humble ourselves before you this day. We come before your courts with praise and thanksgiving, saying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, forgive us of every way we have sinned and fallen short. We all sin and fall incredibly short of the glory of God, and we praise you that your mercies are new every single day. And we acknowledge you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, to the earth, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. At Calvary, when he said, it is finished, he blotted out ordinances, he disarmed principalities and powers, he made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation. He descended into the underworld. He took the keys from death, defeated hell, death, and the grave, miraculously rose again, appeared to his disciples, and then he ascended back into heaven to take his rightful place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the name above all names, and our advocate without ceasing before your throne, and we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence in, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, into this place. Father, let the weight of your glory fall, the power, your presence, your truth, your might mightily go forth tonight, Father God. Let people tangibly feel your presence and feel the power and authority of who you are. Let the weight of the conviction, Father God, of the Holy Spirit and who you are mightily go forth tonight, Father God. Lord, we ask you go before us. You be our front and rear guard. You order our steps, Lord, we ask tonight. Order my words in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask, Father. Fill us with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. Let us hear your voice, know your voice, and as strangers we will not follow. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Lord, allow me and our team the humble privilege, Father, of being vessels of your power. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you would loose, send, and dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions to surround the skies, the land, above and below, north, south, east, and west, and to guard against every dimensional access point, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over and rebuke every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, hindrance, interference, violence, slander, intimidation, bullying, threat, curse, spell, incantation, enchantment, dark arts, dark magic, deception, witchcraft, any form of weaponized demonic activity sent against us. We command in the name of Jesus Christ, it be dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, rendered powerless, and their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. By the holy fire of God, let it be destroyed and cast out now in the name of Jesus Christ to be blocked from returning or having anything sent to this place. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter, we most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Father God. Every breath we take is because of you, Father God. We are the dust of the earth without your breath of life breathed into us, Father God. Lord, we praise you. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, Father God, that you laid the foundations of the earth, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, that you sit on the highest throne and you judge the matters of men and nations, Father God. Lord, we praise you, Father God, that you see far beyond what men can see, Father God. We praise you, Father God, that you put the expanse of the heavens in its place, Father God. Lord, that every star, Father, every planet, Father God, you have placed in its place, Father God. We praise you, Father God, that your mercy is what has allowed the earth to continue in this time, Lord. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, Lord. We ask you take all the glory for yourself. Your word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, Father God. It is written, Father. Father God, and we praise you for that. We thank you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Let your conviction really move hearts tonight, Father God, to want to go to your word and to want to surrender to you. Those tonight who are wrestling with you that are watching, Father God, let your presence, Father God, just arrest them tonight, Father God, that they truly surrender in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome to those of you jumping on during prayer. Very happy to have you on. At the end of the broadcast, I will give an update on Grace, and we also have an adoption alert that we'll get into at the end of the broadcast as well. But what is happening right now? I mean, it's almost like the Wild West to watch what's unfolding right now globally. Lots of twists and turns. So we're going to get into this biblical mystery of the 10 that ties Revelation, the book of Esther, the book of Daniel, the Iran war, what's happening with the U.S., what's happened in Gaza, what's happening with Israel, Lebanon, the mystery of the 10, biblically. We're going to tie this all together for you tonight. But first, we have to talk about something that happened in Mexico. If you could like this broadcast, subscribe. We would very much appreciate it. God bless you for doing it. Also, if you could share this broadcast, we would very much appreciate it tonight. Something happened in Mexico. Within this window of April 21st to April 24th, which we'll get into in a moment, because we are in a window that I think if things are going to blow, there's a great potential for them to blow within this window. So, but something happened in Mexico that is putting me, and it should put you on high alert for what's about to happen within the nations of the earth. So we're going to put up the article. Wait till you see this. A viewer sent this to us, actually, because I've been talking about Mexico recently. No cartels involved, but Mexico's pyramid attack prompts new concerns. The authorities in Mexico are still piecing together how a typical morning at the ancient pyramid complex of the, Teotihuacan, one of the country's foremost tourist destinations, descended into terrifying gun violence on Monday. The video footage is disturbing. A gunman stands atop the imposing pyramid of the moon. This is what it's called, the pyramid of the moon. And opens fire on the tourists around him who cower for cover among the pre-Hispanic stone structure. After the ordeal, a 32-year-old Canadian woman had been killed and the gunman had died from a self-inflicted gun wound. Tourists from several nations, including Russia, Colombia, and Brazil, were treated for their injuries in local hospitals. Now, there is something to this, and let me show you, because this is not ordinary what has just happened. First of all, this has been made into an altar by what has happened. But this is called the Pyramid of the Moon. Now, we just had a blood moon at the beginning of March, right? And it's a 32-year-old Canadian woman that was tragically killed, 32. And it was 3-2, March 2nd, that was the beginning of Purim and the blood moon. And now on the Pyramid of the Moon in April, about a month and a half later, this occurs atop this pyramid. Now, there were tourists involved from Canada, Russia, Brazil, and Colombia, right? And this was in Mexico. Now, I believe what they're attempting to do is, first of all, align this with that blood moon, first of all, okay? And we'll get into more, but I think, first of all, that's what's happening. But you have two South American countries, Brazil and Colombia. You have Canada, you have Mexico involved where it was, and you have Russia as well. Because Canada and Mexico are North America. So you have two South American countries, two North American countries, and then Russia. That is the nations that were represented atop of this pyramid. I'm telling you now, this was a sacrifice on a high altar that the leadership of Mexico, I believe, is tied to. And this is opening up a gate against the leadership of Canada, this is tied with that. The timing of this in the midst of what's happening in the U.S. and Iran and attempting to shed blood at a high place for a power move. This was an announcement from the kingdom of darkness of their plans, that the way this was aligned, it ties back to the date of Purim and the blood moon. This also occurs with the rededication of America, hanging in the balance. This is what happens atop this pyramid of the moon. Now, you have Canada, Russia, Brazil, Colombia, and Mexico, right? That's five nations represented there in what happened, right? Now, from those nations, Canada, Russia, Brazil, Colombia, Mexico, I'm going to show you what you can spell, because it's very interesting. Here we go. Iran deal, BRICS, as in BRICS nations, Baal, and Daniel, because we are in the times like Daniel. From the five nations that were represented atop of the pyramid, you can spell Iran deal, BRICS, as in the BRICS nations, Baal, and Daniel. Do I think that's a coincidence? No, I do not. I believe something is about to blow wide open with the BRICS nations also. I firmly believe that, given that two of the BRICS nations were represented atop of that pyramid. So all of these nations that were represented, Canada, Russia, Brazil, Colombia, Mexico, I would say high alert for events to happen. Now that gates are being opened and that the leadership has to recognize those gates to close them. There is something very sinister moving about in Canada. And I believe this is why that was one of the nations that was atop this pyramid represented when this horrific act happened. But that was made into an altar. What happened there was an altar and a sacrifice and an announcement from the kingdom of darkness. And look at the timing of it. About, a little less than a month. Let's see. It's 4:23 today. You've got seven more. About 24 days out from the rededication of America. The rededication of America. This happens 24 days out. Why is that significant? Because President Trump won in 2024. So you have to understand, when the kingdom of darkness moves about to do something, they have watermarks and hallmarks of their work and of what they intend to do and of why they're doing it. And I'm telling you, this is not an accident that this is happening the way it is. Now, I want to read to you this word from the Lord from December 20th, 2025. Just listen to the word, because I think this is the precursor of what's to come. In January, says the Lord, a very large windy turn shall be entered in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. The leadership of Canada is about to be hit with a woe for the shedding of innocent blood, says the Lord. Who was atop the pyramid? It was the Canadian that lost their life. A woe that will cause an outcry in the nation. A woe that will expose the dark deals made with principalities and the nations they gatekeep for, says the Lord. Selling the lives of their own people for their security. Selling the lives of their own people for security, says the Lord. That deal and its inner working shall be exposed this coming year, says the Lord. That deal is going to be exposed now that this happened. I'm telling you, that deal is going to come out and it's going to be exposed, because the way this was orchestrated, this was a sacrifice by the kingdom of darkness on a high altar in North America to attempt to begin to alter events here and abroad. Not an accident. And given this happened in this window that we're in, April 21st to April 24th. Now, why is that important? Well, I highlighted this last time in Tuesday's broadcast, but it has to do with Daniel chapter 10. When the prince of Persia, the principality that was in the spirit that was over Persia, withstood Gabriel the archangel for 21 days from breaking through until Michael the archangel was dispatched to move that principality out of the way. And then it was on the 24th day that Gabriel finally appeared to Daniel with the answer. It was a 3-day window to subdue the principality over Persia and break through in order to bring the answer. We are in the window of April 21st to 24th, and it was April 21st that the ceasefire came down to the wire and it was extended. Now, I believe within this window, there is a great potential for something to blow wide open with Iran, either with the power struggle that's within their government right now, or within things to blow at the Strait of Hormuz, literally, or to blow between the United States and Iran. I believe around the time of this window has something to do with this. It has to do with the book of Daniel chapter 10 as well. Okay, so let's put up the next article because we're going to get to this 10 Kings mystery in just a moment here. There's a couple of things I wanted to cover first. Exiled Iranian Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi doused in red liquid in where? Germany. Now, this is what it says. Exiled Iranian Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi, the son of Iran's former Shah, was splattered with a red liquid on Thursday. Video footage of the incident shows the liquid being splashed on Pahlavi while he was walking down a street in Berlin, Germany, flanked by security. The Associated Press reported that police detained the alleged perpetrator and indicated that the substance appeared to be tomato juice. Now, why do I have this in here? Well, first of all, it happened within this window of April 21st to April 24th. But I believe this is a foreshadowing of what's to come with Reza. And truly, this is a warning about what they are going to attempt to do to him. I believe this was the dress rehearsal. This was the foreshadowing. This was the warning that a takedown of him is going to be attempted in the very, very near future. So pray for him, because tomato juice represents blood. Okay? So what they're doing is a representation and a foreshadowing and a clearing of the way in order to literally now take him down. And I believe it's going to happen in the very, very near future that they're going to attempt this. And it was in Germany, of all places, is where this foreshadowing was attempted. So I would watch Germany in this hour for a high attempt on leadership in this time. So something else I wanted to talk to you about too before we get into this other thing. The Iranian hostage crisis. Briefly, I'm going to talk to you about this. The Iranian hostage crisis began November 4th, 1979. 47 years later, with President Trump as the 47th president, this prophetic cycle is coming back and we see a new type of Iranian hostage crisis arising. It appears the IRGC are taking the Supreme Leader Mojtaba Khomeini and the president of Iran and others hostage of sorts because Iran has turned on their own. So now the Iranian hostage crisis is coming from within and the IRGC 47 years later with Trump as the 47th president, President Trump, is now taking its own hostage, and we have a new Iranian hostage crisis on our hands. Now, also for America, why is this November 4th, 1979 date important? Because 47 years, well, it was really 46, but then in January it was the 47th. November 4th date, it was November 4th, 2025. That Zohran Mamdani wins New York. And in January 26, which entered the 47th year since the November 4th, 1979 hostage crisis, New York enters now its own hostage crisis. what's going on in New York and what's going on in Iran, you're going to see a lot of parallels between New York City and Iran in this time, because this date of November 4th ties Mamdani to the hostage crisis and 47 years. And I don't think that's an accident that it's aligning the way it is. I believe there is a hostage crisis happening in New York. I believe there is a hostage crisis happening in Iran right now. It's a reversal of the hostage crisis because now they've taken their own leaders. Leaders have taken their own leaders now, apparently hostage. And there is a coup that is fiercely arising from within in Iran. An enormous power struggle has broken out. It is a house divided. And we all know a house divided cannot stand. So I think it's about to get very cloak and dagger within the Iranian government. You may even hear that term used, but I believe it's about to get very cloak and dagger within the Iranian government. Okay. Now let's move on. Matthew 24, I wanted to read before we begin with the 10 kings tonight. Matthew 24, verses 4 through 7, and then 4 through 8. So we'll read verses 4 through 8 total. It says, Jesus answered, "Be careful that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, misusing it and appropriating the strength of the name which belongs to me," that's in parentheses, "saying, I am the Christ, and they will mislead many. You will continually hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end of the age. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places." What I just read to you is verses 4 through 7. We are in the 47th presidency. We are watching nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. We're watching it happen. Verse 8, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Very interesting. You know why it's interesting, Matthew 24, 4 through 7? Because it was 2024 that President Trump won the 47th presidency. And this is Matthew 24, verses 4 through 7, and it talks about wars, rumors of wars, nation rising against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, right? We're watching the U.S. rise against Iran. We're watching Islam rise against the Jewish faith and Christianity. We're watching the kingdom of darkness rise against the kingdom of light. We're watching it literally play out. We are literally watching it play out before our very eyes, because this is something that has cycled through the generations. This is something that has cycled through the generations, and it's something that I think we're going to continue to see cycle as we watch this unfold. But very interesting that it's Matthew 24, verses 4 through 7, that it says this. I do not think that these things just happened by mistake. I believe they prophetically align in a prophetic cycle, and we watch them actually then play out in modern day. So I just wanted to read that to you because we're actively watching this play out in the realm of the globe and in the realm of the spirit. So I just wanted to put that in there for all of you. Now, the 10 kings, right? The 10 kings mystery. The 10 Kings mystery of Revelation and Daniel and we're going to include the book of Esther in this. How is it unfolding? How is the landscape shifting? How is Iran and the U.S. and Gaza and all these other things unfolding tie into it? Well, we're going to get into all of it now. So if you got your Bibles, get your Bibles out, because we're going to be reading a lot of scripture tonight in order to show you what basically the tie-in is to all of this. So to start, I'm going to point out a few things and then we're going to break it down more. Haman had 10 sons in the book of Esther. The Antichrist has a 10-king delegation that aligns with him. Iran is looking at a 10-point peace deal right now, okay? And if we go back to Genesis chapter 10, verses 2 through 3, Noah's son, Japheth, and his grandson, Gomer, produced 10 offspring. And this is what it says. The sons of Japheth, were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tyrus. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Rephath, and Togarma. At least five of the 10 names are named in Ezekiel 38 with the War of Ezekiel. With the War of Ezekiel, you have Magog named, Gomer named, Tubal named, Togarma named. You have quite a few of these names that are specifically named in the nations that come together in Ezekiel 38 in the War of Ezekiel. So Genesis 10, right? The mystery of the 10 goes all the way back to Genesis, and it goes through the Bible all the way to Revelation. Now, let's go to the book of Esther. We're going to work our way up here to Daniel and Revelation. Esther chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and established his authority over all the officials who were with him. All the king's servants who were at the king's gate bowed down and honored and paid homage to Haman, for this is what the king had commanded in regard to him. But Mordecai, a Jew from the tribe of Benjamin, neither bowed down nor paid homage. So this was Esther chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. Now, Haman and his 10 sons, who you'll meet in a moment here, are a representation of the Antichrist. Now, Lance Wallnau was talking about this specific part. They're a representation of the Antichrist and the 10 kings that will rule with him. So Haman and his 10 sons are foreshadowing of the Antichrist and the 10 kings that will rule with him. Haman is raised to high political power. Everyone must bow to him. This was the order. Mordecai refuses to bow, who is a part of God's people. So what does he do? He wages war against Mordecai and his people. He wages war against the saints, just like the Antichrist is going to do. He sends decrees of destruction through the entire kingdom to annihilate the people of God from the earth and wipe them out of the earth because they won't bow down and worship him as if he is king. So they won't bow down and worship him. They won't do what he's asking. Therefore, he wants to annihilate them. Now, the Antichrist wants the world to bow down and worship him as if he is the King of Kings, and he will make war with the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and he will war against the saints. Haman wars against the saints, the people of God, and goes after them with decrees of destruction. Now, Esther chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. At the citadel in Susa, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men, and they killed Parshendatha, Dalphon, Aspatha, Poratha, Adalia, Aradatha, Parmashta, Arasai, Aradai, and Vizatha, the 10 sons of Haman, the sons of Hammedatha, the Jews' enemy, but they did not lay their hands on the plunder. On that day, the number of those who were killed at the citadel in Susa was reported to the king. The king said to Queen Esther, "The Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men and the 10 sons of Haman at the citadel in Susa." Now, Haman's 10 sons are a representation of the 10 king delegation that will end up ruling with the Antichrist. And the fact Haman and his sons were destroyed was the foreshadowing of what's going to happen at the Battle of Armageddon when the Antichrist and his army are completely decimated. Now, we just watched from the book of Esther a modern day Purim, because Purim is in the book of Esther, having to do with the divine reversals that that Almighty God puts forth that destroyed Haman, his plans, his purposes, and his sons. We just watched a modern day Purim play out in Iran that produced a 10-point deal. Produced a 10-point deal, right? Haman and his 10 sons, and it produces a 10-point deal. Hidden within the name of the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini is Haman and Amalek. So if we have that to put up, we'll put it up for you. So hidden within the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini's name, you can spell Haman and Amalek. That is not a mistake. that Haman and Amalek are hidden in his name. We just watched a modern day Purim with the book of Esther. Haman had 10 sons, and out of this, a 10-point peace deal came forth that was initially rejected, right? Initially rejected, just like what happened with Haman and his sons. Now, Esther 3:7, in the first month, the month of Nisan, which is March to April, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, Haman cast pur, that is the lot, cast before him day after day to find a lucky day to approach the king. Month after month until the 12th month, the month of Adar, which is February to March. Now, here's what's interesting. 2028 is an election year. It's also a Shemitah year. 2028 is 12 years since President Trump first became president in 2016. Now, it says in Esther 3:7, the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, that's when lots were cast for destruction. 2028 is the 12th year since President Trump first ran and took office in 2016. And being that 2027 is a Jewish leap year, a pregnant year, which is double Purims, Purim Katan, little Purim, and Purim, it's very interesting that this is how it lines up in 2028. That's just a side note I'm giving you here. Now, Zohran Mamdani, who just took in January his position in New York City as mayor, also has Haman hidden in his name. So the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini has it. Zohran Mamdani also has Haman hidden within his name. Now, this is what's fascinating about this. An election year for the mayor of New York City was held, or an election was held, on November 4th, 2025. Now, we already talked about the November 4th date. Democratic State Assemblyman Zohran Mamdani won the election with 50% of the vote. It was 50.78%. Now, this is what's wild about this, is that, and I'll deal with the number 50 first. The gallows that Haman built in the book of Esther to hang Mordecai was 50 cubits tall. This is the gallows that are being built. Mamdani winning by 50% of the vote is the gallows that Haman built, because Haman is in his name, right? And what's interesting about it's 50.78%, the 78, I think the Iranian Revolution first began in 78 and went into 79. So it's interesting that 50.78%, and there's little Buster, hi Buster, was the amount of vote he won by, and the man has Haman hidden in his name, and he's raised up the year that all of this erupts with Iran. Haman represents the spirit of Antichrist rising. He represents the Antichrist. His sons represent the 10-nation confederation. Now, to go further with this, in the book of Exodus, you have Pharaoh and 10 plagues. And you have Moses and the people of God preserved during that time. And Pharaoh wages war against the people of God while the 10 plagues are going on. So Pharaoh, representation of the Antichrist, there's 10 plagues that go along with this, and he makes war against the people of God. You see this imagery over and over and over again from Genesis to Revelation. Now let's go to the book of Daniel, because we're going to work our way up to the U.S.-Iran conflict and Gaza and everything going on. Daniel chapter 7, verses 4 through 8, which is interesting because the 48th presidency is our next election. The first Babylonian empire under Nebuchadnezzar was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. This is Daniel 7 verses 4 through 8. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, which was the Medo-Persian Empire, was like a bear, and it was raised up on one side, and 3 ribs were in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, "Arise, devour much meat." After this, I kept looking, and behold, the other one, like a leopard, which had on its back four wings like those of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and power to rule was given to it. After this, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, I saw a fourth beast, terrible and extremely strong, and it had huge iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down what was left with its feet. It was different from all the other beasts that came before it, and it had 10 horns, which represents the 10 kings. While I was considering the horns, behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, and three of the first horns were pulled up by the roots before it, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth boasting of great things. Now, I believe that little horn that comes up is the Antichrist in the confederation with the 10 kings. But I want to go back to Daniel 7:4 in this. Something fascinating is in here. Daniel 7:4 says, "The first was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind was given to it." So let's look at the imagery. The imagery is a lion with the wings of an eagle and then made to stand like a man. Two ways to look at this right now, because these things prophetically cycle. Two ways to look at it, because it's talking about Nebuchadnezzar's empire. But like I said, these things prophetically cycle, and we see these biblical parallels strongly appearing right now. England, if we look at America's inception, England was the lion, and it was given eagle's wings. The eagle, America, came from that and was birthed from that. And then the presidential position was established, and America stood on its own feet. He was given the mind of a man. That's the prophetic cycle of the birth of our nation, and we are approaching the 250th. This is in Daniel 7:4. Now, also, Iran, the symbol of its old flag when the Shah ruled, was a lion. And the United States symbol is an eagle, right? And then it says stood like a man. These are the two nations entangled in conflict right now, the United States and Iran. And to go even further with this, let's look at the operations we just saw with Iran and with the U.S. and Israel doing this joint operation together. Rising Lion was called Israel's operation, and America's symbol, their operation was Epic Fury, and America's symbol is the eagle, a lion with eagle's wings, and it stood up like a man, because we're the ones doing the operation and commanding them. Men are the ones for those nations doing these operations and commanding them. So this imagery right now is what is so powerful in the midst of what's aligning in the earth, because these prophetically cycle. So even though it was talking about Nebuchadnezzar's empire, and then it goes into the Medo-Persian and Rome, we're watching the biblical parallel in this prophetic cycle come back around, and we're watching this imagery arise amidst what's happening within these nations. Also, Daniel 7:4, the reversal of 7:4 is 4:7, which is the presidency we are in, and we're in a time of reversal. So I just thought that was interesting. Now, Revelation 17, we're going to verses 12 through 13. I told you, we're working our way up. Okay, this is Revelation 17, verses 12 through 13. "The 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but together they receive authority as kings for a single hour, for a common purpose along with the beast." A single hour is like a short period of time. Verse 13, "These kings have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast." This is the 10-king confederation that pledges its allegiance to the Antichrist and the beast system. Revelation 17, 14, "They will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will triumph and conquer them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him and on his side are the called and chosen, elect and faithful." What does he do with the 10 kings? He wages war against the Lamb and against those who are on his side. Look, going back to the book of Genesis. The Genesis 10 where the 10 individuals are referenced from Noah's line, five of them being in the War of Ezekiel, what happens? They align to make war against the people of God, those on God's side. What happens when we come to the book of Esther? Haman and his 10 sons, Antichrist, 10 kings, make war against the Lamb and against those that are on his side, right? What does Pharaoh do with the 10 plagues? Makes war against the Lamb and against those on his side. Now, take it even further, because Revelation is highly representative and symbolic, because we see 10 horns, they represent something else. You have to understand, John, and when he saw these visions, John, and he saw far beyond thousands of years later, he didn't know what a fighter jet was. He didn't know what a drone was. So he described them as things that he would identify with back then to get people to understand what he was seeing. So I saw an insect, right, that had sharp teeth. Well, guess what? Fighter jets, a lot of them have this painted sharp teeth on the front of them. On the nose of the fighter jet, you see these painted sharp teeth. With drones, it's the same thing. And I saw this type of insect that looked like a grasshopper. He could have been seeing a drone. He didn't understand what he was seeing, so he compares it to the things that were common to him and familiar to him for that day, like these horns, right? These horns represent the 10 kings, but a horn, biblically speaking, is a symbol of strength. So it aligns, and it helps us to understand what John was seeing. Now, let's take it into what's happened through history. The Nuremberg trials after World War II, 10 Nazi officers are hung. Hitler is killed, right? There's your Antichrist. There is your symbolic Antichrist. 10 Nazi officers are hung. They compared it to Purim because of Haman and his 10 sons, which represents the Antichrist and the 10 nation confederation, right? Raising up for a short while and then being destroyed. Here we go now. Let's bring this into modern day. We see prophetic cycles and parallels in modern day because we are racing towards the events, the latter events of the book of Revelation. Let me show you. President Trump made a 10-member Gaza peace board. In fact, we'll put it up for you and show you. Trump's 10-nation Gaza board of peace takes shape as AI surveillance expands globally. It says the 10-nation structure emerging around Gaza bears particular scrutiny in the weeks ahead. So this was something that happened in the past, 4 months or so. And so Israel found itself in this, in this situation where this Gaza peace board, as Esther jumps off my chair and she totally knocked all of my blankets off the back of my chair and my tallit. Welcome to my life. Okay, so basically, this is created after the hostages were released that were kept atrociously for years after October 2nd. So President Trump goes and he makes this 10-nation peace board. Now, President Trump puts forth a 10-point proposal with Iran, who was Persia, who was mentioned as one of the ringleaders in the War of Ezekiel, Persia, where the book of Esther takes place, and the Medo-Persian Empire that's spoken of in the book of Daniel. Now, on top of it, the Israel-Lebanon ceasefire is 10 days long. So we're going to put that up for you. You see the common thread? There is a common thread running through all of this that ties back to the book of Esther, to Daniel, and to Revelation, and is prophetically echoing in this hour and sounding an alarm to where we are headed. Now, Israel-Lebanon to hold second round of talks in Washington on Thursday. And it says, Lebanon President Joseph Aoun said Wednesday that contacts are ongoing to extend the 10-day ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah that went into effect on Friday. We're going to put up another article for you to show you, because this is a theme that keeps repeating just over and over and over again. We also have this article. Iran rejects 10 nuclear bombs claim, calls it fabricated. Iran rejected claims about Tehran seeking to build 10 nuclear bombs Thursday, as its foreign ministry spokesman said they were never raised in negotiations. 10, 10, 10, 10. Antichrist, 10 kings, right? 10-member board, 10-point police plan, 10 nuclear bombs, 10-day ceasefire. It's not an accident. It is prophetically echoing off the pages of Scripture and warning us what's on the move in the realm of the spirit, where we're marching towards, and that we have to be aware of this. This keeps coming up as a pattern because we are on a prophetic collision course with the latter events of Daniel and the book of Revelation that we are racing towards. This is why, with world events, this is showing up over and over and over again, because prophetically, there are alignments happening, foreshadowings occurring, events unfolding that are pointing like arrows of warning at the events in Daniel and Revelation. Now, I'm going to show you something fascinating about this. The book of Daniel, the book of Revelation. I'm going to show you what's hidden in the title of these two books, because these two books complement each other, Daniel and Revelation. So if we could put that up. Out of Daniel and Revelation, you can spell reveal anti-leader. Look at that. Out of Daniel and Revelation, you can actually spell reveal anti-leader. And that is what it does. It reveals the Antichrist. It reveals the leader. It gives the character profile of the Antichrist and the beast system. It reveals the 10 kings that make a treaty or a confederation and align with the Antichrist. It reveals the anti-leader. That's exactly what these two books do. And that's exactly what is hidden within the title of these two books, because the Bible is living, active, and current for every generation. It is not an ancient book that has nothing to do today. It's a book of the ancient that was written by an Almighty God that saw the future and wove the future into this book, because it is always current. It is not only current, it is beyond us. This book, the Word of God, is in the future already. If we'll only open it up and begin to understand how layered the Bible is. And you know why the Lord wrote it that way? To prove only a divine being outside of space and time that knows all and sees all could have woven it that way. That's why. And you know, this is exactly what the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation do. Now, Daniel chapter 2, verses 47 through 49. This is what it says. The king answered Daniel and said, "Most certainly your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords and a revealer of mysteries, since you have been able to reveal this mystery." Verse 48, then the king promoted Daniel. This has to do with the 40th presidency. Daniel was a prophet. He was a seer. And this has to do with the 48th presidency. Then the king promoted Daniel to an exalted position and gave him many great gifts. And he made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and chief governor over all the wise men of Babylon. Why is this important here? Because Daniel interpreted a dream for Nebuchadnezzar that has to do with a statue that had 10, right? 10 toes. The number 10 comes into play with this dream again. So here's the number 10 again, where the Lord is showing Nebuchadnezzar what's going to happen in the last days, in the end times. And this statue, the number 10 is mentioned again, because the echoing of the 10-member confederation of kings that align with the Antichrist echoes from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and it is echoing in this hour between Gaza, the U.S., Iran, Israel, Lebanon. Look at the part it's all unfolding in, the Middle East. That number 10 is echoing in this hour in the very place that we will watch the 10 nation confederation and the Antichrist rise is in that part of the world. And in that part of the world, we keep seeing 10 member board, 10 point peace plan, 10 day ceasefire, 10, 10, 10, 10 nuclear bombs. It's because the Lord is allowing it to echo as an arrow of warning, as an announcement to go back to his word, because the Antichrist and the 10 King Confederation is coming. These are the foreshadowings of it. This is the announcement of it. This is what happens biblically with prophetic cycles when we see them cycle like this over and over and over again. This is not an accident. This is deliberate. This is intentional. This is biblical. This is an announcement, and we should be paying attention to it in this hour. Now, I want to bring you also, I want a couple other things I want to talk about, because we are going to watch in greater capacity the mystery of the 10 kings unfold in Europe. We're going to watch it unfold in states in the United States. You're going to see, as we get closer to it, more and more incredible alignments of the number 10 with nations, with leaders, with boards, with ceasefires, with agreements. You're going to see it. We're seeing it concentrated in the Middle East right now. You're going to see it enter Europe. You're going to see it enter Asia. You're going to watch it begin to enter the parts of the world that will be involved with the Confederation, that will be involved with the War of Ezekiel, that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. You're going to see it suddenly concentrate and really begin to invade that space. And it will come up over and over and over again as an alarm and a warning to the people of God that this is coming, and that we need to get into the book of Daniel, we need to get into the book of Revelation, and we need to gain understanding of that book. Revelation is the only book of the Bible where it says you will be blessed for reading it. Not that the whole Bible is not a blessing, it is, but Revelation specifically says you will be blessed for reading it. And it's about time the church stop shying away from Revelation, stop just treating it as an apocalyptic book and not wanting to touch it, and start cracking it open and realizing that what was written in it, we are watching those very things align today. We need to get into that book because it contains, I believe, way more than we're even aware of right now. That will soon, God will make those mysteries known. So I'm going to encourage you to do that in the midst of this. Now, I want to read a couple of other things to you with this. So I want to take you to Genesis 37, verses 26 through 28, because this is the year 2026. 28 is our next election. Judah said to his brothers, "What do we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let us instead sell him to these Ishmaelites." The deal is going to attempt to be made in 2027 for the 2028 election. I'm telling you right now. And the Ishmaelites are going to be involved. "And not lay our hands on him, because he is our brother in our flesh." So his brothers listened to him and agreed. Then as the Midianite Ishmaelite traders were passing by, the brothers pulled Joseph up, which is his own kind, his own party, and lifted him out of the pit, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And so they took Joseph captive in Egypt. 20 shekels. What happened with the 2020 election? They hijacked it. They hijacked it. 2028, 2027, the deal is going to attempt to be made. In 2028, the Ishmaelites are going to rise like in 2008, and they are going to try to buy the election. I'm telling you right now, they're positioning themselves in this nation, and Mamdani is a foreshadowing of that. Mamdani is a foreshadowing of the rise of the Ishmaelite slave trader to try to buy the election and make America a slave. I'm telling you, Genesis 37, verses 26 through 28 has a lot to do with this. It has a lot to do with this. And you know what's fascinating? Zohreh Mamdani in 2028 will be 37 years old. And this is Genesis 37, verses 26 through 28. And he was installed because the Ishmaelites are going to try to rise and make a deal in 2027 to try to secure the 2028 election. I'm telling you now, this, watch the landscape of what's happening in this nation. I'm telling you, they're going to attempt this, and it is going to take the church being willing to stand in the gap. And I mean really stand in the gap and not back down for that slave trade to be nullified, voided, and dismantled. It is going to take the church recognizing this, standing in the gap, and openly and unapologetically and boldly speaking the Lord's word and the word of the Lord in that hour to cause those plans to buckle. This is a key to it. Genesis 37 verses 26 through 28 is a key to this, and we need to pay attention to this. So I wanted to tell you that as well, because yes, Mamdani and Obama are tied together. And in this time, we're watching the charges allegedly attempt to mount, right? We're watching these things being said out of the Department of Justice and the FBI about the investigation into Barack Obama. It's no surprise it's happening now. This is why they're going to try the Ishmaelites to rise in order to try to compensate for what is happening. I'm going to tell you too, 2027 will be halfway through President Trump's term. That is when Joseph's brothers, his own party, attempted to sell him and wanted to kill him. I am telling you, that midway point for President Trump and his faith and that he doesn't get off course is crucial, because they're going to try to do to him what Joseph's brothers attempted to do to him. They're going to try to do to him, his own party, and they're setting up for it now, what Joseph's brothers attempted to do to him. Just watch. And the Lord ended up bringing Joseph out of all of that, and he was second in command of Egypt. So I'm just warning you of that also. It's already setting up now, but I'm telling you, it's going to intensify. I'm telling you now, and the Ishmaelites are going to be involved in doing it with his own party. I'm telling you, just look at what just happened with the Save America Act. Four Republicans voted against it and killed the bill. Oh, my hubby's in here. Chris Wagner, hello, hello. He's watching. I see him in the chat. He's watching from upstairs. But I'm telling you now, they are setting up the chessboard this way. They are. And if we recognize it now, we can get ahead of it. If we can get ahead of it, guess what happens? We can derail the enemy's plans with this. So this does not happen in 2028. Now, I want to talk to you about this too, because we've been talking about Daniel tonight and these people that served in positions that were not the cookie cutter Christian positions to serve in. I mean, Daniel was head of the magicians. He is a believer having to oversee the diviners and the magicians and the wise men of the land of Babylon. Kind of precarious situation for a believer to be in, isn't it? And I wanted to talk to you about this. We put this out as a short too, but I wanted to end with this tonight. If you think, after listening to all of this and watching what's happening in the earth right now and what's happening in America and what's happening in the church, if you think that the character profile of serving God is being in a Christian environment, speaking Christian things at Christian events, and that makes you a believer on social media, well, you have missed the biblical purpose, how the Lord moves to usher in his will. Daniel was made head of the magicians in a Babylonian court because the spirit of the Lord was on him and they recognized it. Obadiah served in Jezebel and Ahab's court, two of the most wicked people who ever lived. And he was positioned there by God to keep 100 prophets alive by feeding Jezebel and Ahab's resources to those prophets because they were crucial for the Mount Carmel showdown with Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Joseph was raised up as a Hebrew God-fearing man to be second in command of all of Egypt, a pagan nation under Pharaoh that would later on enslave his own people because the Spirit of the Lord was found in him. Esther was raised up as queen in a pagan Persian court, positioned by God to save her people. Moses was raised up in Pharaoh's house on Pharaoh's resources in order that he would be preserved and kept alive at a time when babies were being murdered and thrown in the Nile, that he may be preserved as a deliverer for his people. Let me ask you a question. How come the world can recognize the hand of God on someone faster than the religious establishment and the church can? How come the world can recognize when the hand of God and the Spirit of God is in someone faster than the religious establishment and the church ever could? The Pharisees, the religious authority of the day, could not even recognize the Messiah standing in front of them, Jesus Christ. In fact, they said Jesus was casting out demons by Satan. In today's world of social media, Daniel would have been called an occultist. Obadiah would have been called deep state. Joseph would have been called a pagan. Esther would have been called a harlot. Moses would have been called a traitor. Yet all of them were positioned by Almighty God in the darkness to usher in the jurisdiction of the Lord's light, plans, and purposes into areas that desperately needed it. Be careful attacking someone's position in what you deem less than ideal, in what you deem not Christian enough, where they're serving, because you could be attacking the Lord's will that placed them in a place of uncomfortableness and treachery that is far from ideal, to bring and usher in truth and justice because they were willing. And the question is, are you willing? Are you willing as the church? Are you willing as servants of the Most High God to be placed in positions like Daniel and Obadiah and Joseph and Moses and Esther? Are you willing to be positioned like that in order to fulfill God's plans and purposes in your life? They were all placed in things that in today's matrix of the social media and the media world, they would have all been called the exact opposite of what they are. Occultists, traitors, pagans. No, they were believers that were brave enough and had the conviction enough to serve in a place that was surrounded by darkness, to serve in a place that needed light, to serve in a place where the jurisdiction of God was needed to come in order to prophetically fulfill what God had spoken. They were brave enough to go there. Those who are serving in Washington, D.C., they're in a very similar circumstance. They're attacked. They're attacked for their faith. They don't have enough faith. They're not walking it. They're not in a position that would be the character profile of someone with faith. Yet God may have put them there to usher in his jurisdiction, his plans, and his purposes that are desperately needed in those situations. Because if God doesn't deploy people in, Satan maintains a monopoly in that area. Satan had a monopoly until Esther. He had a monopoly until Moses. He had a monopoly until Joseph. He had a monopoly until Daniel. And they came in and they broke up his market and they broke up his interests and they broke up his hold, stronghold grip that he had on those areas. So we have to remember that what we think it should look like and what God says it should be are two different things. And we have in a way on social media presented that the character profile of a great Christian is that they're at Christian events all the time. They're not going and ministering to people, you know, in broken places, in places of brokenness, in bars and strip clubs and other degrading places where these people are lost and dying. but we have presented it as only if you're going to Christian events, right? In a upright church, only then are you a Christian and doing God's will. And that couldn't be further from the truth, given the biblical precedent and character profile that we have been given in Scripture. And as these things unfold, we have to remember that. We have to remember that, that people are raised up by God in places that are less than ideal, in situations where the Spirit of the Lord may not even be welcome, in order to be the announcer, the gatekeeper, usher it in, and change the landscape and the history of that entire area. And that is what all those individuals did that I named. And we have to remember that in this time, that that's where God is going to place us. That the church less and less should be identified as what's inside its four walls. It should be more identified as what's outside its four walls. And going ye into all the world and preaching the gospel in the highways and the byways and the cities and the towns and the schools and the squares. The church should be recognized for its work outside its walls, not for hiding within its walls. That's not what it was meant for. That's not what we were called to do. Jesus never hid behind the four walls of the temple like the Pharisees did. He went out amongst the people. And that's why he was so dangerous, because transformation was now happening outside of the temple. When transformation happens in a city outside of the church, it begins to affect every aspect of that city. The city positions, the city hall, the schools, the corporate, it begins to invade. It's time that we realize we were put here as the standard to invade, to occupy, to usher in God's presence outside the walls of the church. Not just inside. We were not meant to be immobile behind four walls. We are meant to have that to gather together, but then we are supposed to be going out. And a lot of churches have contained themselves inside those four walls. That's not what God has called us to do in this time. That's not what he's called us to do. And we have to remember that. And pastors, you need to remember that. You're not called to hide in the four walls. You're called to go out as Christ did into the cities and towns and squares, into places that are less than ideal, and usher in the kingdom of God. We have right now the symbolism of the Antichrist and the 10 kings showing up left and right. The foreshadowing, the warning, the announcement, the Antichrist spirits on the move in the realm of the spirit. Time is short. We are there to proclaim the way of the Lord. We are there to announce his coming. We are there to tell the nations of the earth to repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent before it's too late. Repent, leaders of the earth, governors, mayors, nations leaders, Congress, parliament. Repent, because time is short. And what's showing up in biblical parallels within all of the Middle East right now and the United States of America is proving it. And we need to take inventory and stock of that in this time. So we have to remember that. We have to remember that as we're looking at all of this. And praise the Lord. I mean, praise the Lord that he has given us such a commission and such a call, and we should be humbled by that, and we should want to go out for his kingdom and do that. All of you are usable by God. There is not one of you that is not usable if you're only willing to submit. We all fall short. It's a matter of who is willing. Here I am, Lord, send me. It's what Isaiah said. Here I am, send me. You are all usable. When a lot of you out there go, well, what can I do for God in my life? There's a lot you can do if you're only willing to be picked up as an instrument in his hands and implemented the way you were created to move. Many of you are operating outside the realm of what you were created to be. And in this season, that's going to be reconciled. And many of you are going to change course in this season drastically, because you're in jobs, you're in areas, you're doing things you were not created to do. You have gifts for it, but you weren't created to do it. And there's going to be massive shifts in many of your lives and a sudden turn. And the Lord is going to realign. And this is going to be quick when he does it. Realign you into the position, redirect you, and put you on that course, because time is short and he needs you operating in what you were created to do. He needs that right now. And many of you are going to enter that process in this season. So praise the Lord, because you will enter that process and you will be redirected and you will do what is written about you in the books of heaven, what you were created to do on this earth. Because many of you know and feel uncomfortable and know you're not in your call. You know you are just trying to endure, you're trying to survive, and it's because you're not in your call. Surrender to God, allow him to redirect you into your call and your purpose that you were beautifully created to do, because it's needed in this season. And we cannot dilly-dally anymore and go dabbling in things we are not created to do. It's time for us to go to work, and it's time for us to be willing to go there. So praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. Yep, we have to surrender. We have to surrender. It's imperative. It's imperative we surrender to our Creator. He knows us better than we even know ourselves. Now, praise the Lord. So we wanted to do this as we begin to wind down tonight, because we're at an hour and 16 minutes. We have a adoption opportunity for all of you out there. And we're really hoping one of our wonderful viewers will do this. This is Mercury. He is an American bully. He is under 5 years old. He is neutered. He is very good with other dogs, cats, and children. He is in Union City, New Jersey. Please contact Nori at 347-497-2434. He desperately needs a home right now in the situation he's in. He's a wonderful dog. And if you can give Mercury a home, please contact Nori. And we would love to be able to make that happen for him and for you. So I just pray one of you out there are able to give this amazing dog. As you can see, he's with two cats. Very, very sweet dog, American Bulldog. We certainly hope one of you can come to Mercury's rescue. If you do adopt Mercury, we would love to send you a gift basket to get you started with Mercury from Ark of Grace Ministries. So if you do adopt him, I will find out from Nori, or you can email us at hello@arkofgrace-ministries2, and we will make sure to get you some starters for your new life with Mercury. So we just wanted to do that. We try, when we can't take an animal in ourselves, we really try to use this platform to help rehome them, because so many of you out there love animals. So please contact Nori, the owner of the dog, right now on the phone number below. Okay, praise the Lord. Update on Grace. Many of you are asking for an update on Grace. Here's our beautiful horse, Grace. She is in the hospital. They tubed her again today. Now, what tubing requires, for you horse owners who know this, they have to numb the horse's nose and put a tube up the nose and down and fill their gut with water and Epsom salt in order to purposely get their gut moving and their intestines moving. They did find out that she is fighting a condition called laminitis in her left foot. The bone has shifted, even though we've been treating it. So she has to go to a rehab facility for 6 weeks now. We are hoping tomorrow to get her to the rehab facility. Charlotte is there right now. Charlotte is ready to come home. So we're going to film this. Charlotte is going to come home with us. We're going to go drop Grace off. Grace and Charlotte will see each other for a moment. And we're going to load Charlotte. We're going to bring her home. And Grace is going to be there for 6 weeks. So far, they've increased her feed to half her normal amount. And she's doing doing well, the doctor said. So they will continue to slowly increase her feed as they get her intestines moving again. So thank you for all your prayers. Yes, you go to arcofgracesanctuary.org if you would like to learn more or if you would like to help. And so Grace will be moving to the rehab facility most likely tomorrow. Charlotte will be coming home, and we will continue to keep you posted as well. Also, Reawaken America, the reunion. It's June 19th through 20th, 2026. So to request tickets, you can text 918-851-0102. That is Clay Clark. He will be glad to help you. You can go to arcofgrace.org/events to learn more. It is the Remnant Rising indeed. I will be there. I will be speaking. I will be praying over people. And we're looking so forward to seeing so many of you there. And just continue to pray for Chris that he is ready to go. And we can fly out there. So that's the case right now. But we just continue to pray for Chris in the midst of this. Also, Brace for Impact. It is a bestseller in Pentecostal and Christian, I believe. Pentecostal and Charismatic Christianity. All glory be to God. And so it is continuing to be a bestseller. And 5 rare prophetic events that will trigger a spiritual tipping point. We are on a global collision course with events biblically. This is what this book covers. It prophetically covers all the way up to 2028. So you can go to arcofgrace.org. It's right on the front, and you can click on it, go to Amazon, and it is available for purchase now. You'll probably get it in a couple of days. It's also on audio for you audio lovers out there who love to listen to audiobooks. Also, 2 more things. We have Givaderm, and we're going to do My Pillow as well. This is Givaderm. We're doing something special with Givaderm for all of you. So I'll announce it when it's ready, but we have something special in the works with Givaderm for our viewers out there. It is all natural. It is food for your face. It's an incredible skincare line that I use twice a day that my husband Chris uses. They also have soap. They have shower scrubs that are amazing. They have a wonderful clay cleanser. I happen to like the Uplift, the eye cream, and the Mother Plumper myself. And it is just incredible that these women not only love the Lord, but they have designed a product that's actually wonderful for your skin. In the arena of skincare today, there are so many chemicals that go into too many products. This is an all-natural product that actually works. So you could go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and use promo code ARC10 when you click on Givaderm for a 10% discount. And MyPillow, Mike Lindell's running for governor of California. He needs your help, people. Action item. So you can go to MyPillow.com. You can go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and use promo code ARC for a significant discount. They are so much more than just pillows. They have amazing dog beds. They have sheets. They have slippers that are wonderful. They have robes. They have sheets. They are so much more than just pillows. So we encourage you to be a blessing to Mike Lindell as he is gearing up his run for governor of Minnesota. Continue to pray for him as well. And you can go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ARC today. Okay, this is where we're ending for the night, people. I thank you all for being on with us. Thanks to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. We were thrilled to have you on with us tonight. We will be back on early next week, as usual. If the top blows over the weekend with what's happening with the U.S. and Iran, we will announce an emergency broadcast, and we will come on. We will be putting out shorts as well for the rest of the week and the weekend. So please look for those on all of our social media platforms. I'm wondering if we should put them up quick, the social media platforms, as we're ending here. Because if we have them, so people can see where to go, where to subscribe. Thank you very much. Rumble, YouTube, TikTok, Ark of Grace Ministries, Telegram, Ark of Grace News, Truth Social, Ark of Grace Ministries, Facebook with a Y, Ark of Grace Ministry, and a blue check, Instagram, Ark of Grace 88, and X at Amanda Grace _AOG. We also on Facebook have Ark of Grace Sanctuary, and on Instagram you can search Ark of Grace Sanctuary, and you can sign up for our sanctuary social media as well that follows all the happenings at Ark of Grace. So we actually are on TikTok as well. So it's Ark of Grace Sanctuary across the board. Thank you, everyone. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your evening. We encourage you to armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. Also, we have Psalm 123, 34, 35, and 51, Create in me a clean heart, O God. We also have Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19 from the Believer's Authority. I say those every single night before bed, as well as the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. The word is living and active. We have to speak it. We have to live it. We have to be willing to engage with it, as well as Hebrews 11. But I also encourage you in this time, crack open the book of Daniel. Go look at Revelation. Start looking at these books that contain so much about what we are watching beginning to unfold before our very eyes. So thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your evening. We love you. Keep the faith. God bless.